Welcome to Locked On Heat. On today's show, the Warriors may be the greatest team of all time, but could you construct a team of players from Heat history to beat them?
Each of us will pick six guys we think might be able to challenge the Golden State teams of the last couple of years. Thank you for listening and for subscribing. Let's get to the show.
You are Locked On Heat, your daily Miami Heat podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
All right, let's do this. Welcome to Locked On Heat, your daily Miami Heat podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. My name is Wes Goldberg. I'm a credentialed writer covering the Heat in the NBA for FanSided. You can find me on Twitter at WC Goldberg.
And I'm David Romello, credentialed NBA writer who's covered the Heat and league at large for SB Nation and FanSided. You can follow me and my writing on Twitter at DRomello13.
After posting shows for the Heat's all-time defensive, offensive, and all-rookie teams, we got a question from our loyal listener and Patreon supporter Claudia about how we would build a team constructed entirely of players from Heat history to beat the Golden State Warriors that have just won three championships in four seasons. Unlike the all-NBA format we used for the other shows, which includes two guards, two forwards, and a center, we'll do a straight starting five plus a sixth man. The Warriors team that we're facing, just so that we're working on a clear definition here, is the top six players who just won the finals. So Steph Curry, Klay Thompson, Kevin Durant, Draymond Green, JaVale McGee at center, and then Andre Iguodala as our sixth man. So we want six guys who can beat that unit. So we'll start first with talking about what it takes to beat the Warriors, right? Which is always a conversation to be had.
Yeah.
And then because it's going to take a team effort to beat the Warriors, David will list off his team after that in our second segment. And then after David lifts off his team, I'll go through my team and we'll just sort of debate as we go along. So let's first discuss what it takes to defeat the Warriors. And we've seen them only lose in the finals one time, and that was against Cleveland, that team with Kyrie Irving and LeBron James. And I think they figured something out there in that that isolation ability to beat switches was a thing that LeBron and Kyrie and the Cavs used to beat the Warriors that season. And what the Rockets have really constructed their team with James Harden and Chris Paul and now Carmelo Anthony to do, having guys who can just score at will in isolation so that no matter who the Warriors switch on you, they can kind of slow down the game a little bit and then take advantage of those mismatches, I think is a really big thing that we have to be considering when we build these teams.
I think you're right. I think, you know, you also look at the fact that they lost that championship a couple of years ago, and that was without Kevin Durant. And since then, they've gone 2-0, and they're liable to go, well, as long as they want to, as long as they keep this team together. So there's no easy answer. We're kind of grasping at straws as far as ways to kind of unseat what the Warriors do well. And that's the problem, is that they invariably will set the tempo for how they run their offense. And, you know, they play defense at a high level. Everybody looks at, you know, and perhaps rightfully so, looks at their shooting, their passing, and the free-flowing offense. But they can also turn on their defensive intensity when they need to. They force turnovers. And they're very active in that sense. You know, Steph Curry isn't given a lot of respect as far as a defender is concerned, because he's a little mismatched as far as his size is concerned, but he's got active hands and things of that sort. So they're a challenge, and that may be the understatement of the year. But even with a team as good as Miami has been historically, there is no easy answer. So you look at the fact that, you know, what you pointed out there as far as what they do best and trying to find ways to have scores that are ISO, you know, heavy, that could create their own offense, that could draw away from Golden State's team defense. But I was also looking at other factors. Like I think physicality is probably a key there. Disrupting what Golden State does and getting them out of their comfort zone. You want defenders that will challenge them, mix it up intensely, you know, kind of throw an elbow here and there, maybe throw in a little cheap shot. I think that's probably why Chris Paul is very well suited for that, because he is a guy willing to hold and you know, disrupt what you do an opposing team does offensively. And you also want to force turnovers. You want to get into their heads a little bit as much as you possibly can with two MVP-type players. And I think the physicality kind of goes into that same, you know, to that same vein, because let's say you can disrupt what Draymond does, because he's such an essential part of what that team does offensively and defensively. But if you can get into his head a little bit, get him to talk enough smack where he loses his cool, maybe force him to go to the bench you know, sit down with a technical foul and maybe force an ejection or something like that. There's no real solution there, because I don't think Houston had a legitimate chance of unseating the Warriors, to be completely honest with you. I think a lot of people look at the fact that Chris Paul got hurt and assume that they were on the cusp of knocking off Golden State. I don't buy it. I think Golden State's only challenge is themselves and trying to find a way to get motivated on a nightly basis because of the talent they have. And they just added to that talent by signing DeMarcus Cousins. So, you know, you look at what a team can do, and I was thinking about what defines Miami, and that's always going to be defense. You know, perhaps a little chippy on the defense, you know, getting players in there that are willing to mix it up and unseat and make the Warriors uncomfortable in what they do well.
You know, we've been thinking, as people who talk and write and talk and cover the NBA, how do you beat this Warriors team? And if there are, I try to just kind of distill it down to what I think are the sort of three sort of keys to victory. If I'm just going to use like a radio talk show cliche,
sure.
And we're going to do that. Isolation ability to beat switches. That's definitely number one. High basketball IQ.
Yes.
You got to have that. I mean, you've got to be disciplined on defense. You've got to be an able and willing passing team. And so on both ends of the floor, high basketball IQ, because you really got to be able to stay with what it is that the Warriors are doing on both ends of the court and be able to and to be able to read and react pretty quickly, because before you know it, they could just go on an avalanche of three-pointers if you're not paying enough attention. And then, of course, the Warriors have become one of the most potent offenses in NBA history because their ability to get extra points, right? Their three-point shooting gives them one extra point per basket than the two-point shot, right? So they are, in a lot of ways, just accumulating one extra point at a time throughout a game, which takes, for them, with the amount of threes that they're taking, could take a score of 100 points and turns it into a 120-point game for them, right? So if you're the team that's trying to beat them, you don't necessarily have to go shot for shot from 3-point range with them,
right.
But you have to create extra points for yourself, whether it be through offensive rebounds and second chance opportunities, or steals and getting points in transitions, taking possessions away from the Warriors, creating extra possessions for yourself and therefore extra points. So that'd be my three things: high basketball IQ, isolation ability, extra points. Those would be my three things. And so when I went through constructing my team, I had that in mind in order to try to create those opportunities.
Yeah, I like the bullet points there. It makes it pretty clear. And I feel like the team that I put together really does match up a lot of those things. And then again, you know, I hate to go cliche there, but I like some of that defensive intensity as a defining characteristic there. So you want a versatile group. You want a group that's able to switch around on defense, but also be willing to mix it up, because the Warriors are just too comfortable in what they do, and you want to be able to make that, disrupt that as much as possible, so that gives you whatever edge you can possibly get, because you're not going to find many cracks in that armor, so as soon as you do, you have to be able to find it and exploit it to the best of your ability.
There's a lot of guys to pick from in Heat history. There's not a lot of teams that have the kind of depth throughout their histories like the Heat do, and considering that the Heat are one of the younger franchises in the NBA is astounding. I mean, I think you and I, we talked about what our teams looked like before we started recording here, and they're very different as opposed to what our all rookies and all offensive and our all defensive teams were. Mm-hmm. They were very much similar throughout that whole process. This is very different, which also speaks to just sort of the degree of difficulty that there is to beat the Warriors, because you can go through so many different strategies and ways, and the NBA in real life has done that, and not to much avail, right? I mean, again, since they've gotten Kevin Durant, haven't lost in the NBA Finals, and just it seems to be a cakewalk for them. I want to talk a little bit about those what other franchises might be able to put together, though, before we go into our teams, but let's look at that after this quick break. Back with Locked On Heat, we're constructing an all-time Heat team to beat the Warriors. We'll go through David's team first, and then we'll do mine after. But really quick, we're fortunate in cover. Not only did we get this great question from Claudia,
phenomenal question,
great question. Like, as soon as we got the email, I was like, we tweeted it out. I was super excited. We've been planning for this podcast, but we were also fortunate. We were talking before we started recording here. that this is Locked On Heat, not Locked On some other show, because we actually have a chance to put a team together. There's not a lot of franchises that could say that.
Right. I mean, it speaks to one, Golden State's greatness, that even today, as a team of current players, they're historically good. I think that goes without saying. But that Miami is one of the few franchises that probably has enough depth in their all-time roster to say, you know, you can match up with that kind of level of defensive versatility and offensive output. You know, it's not a lot of players throughout history can match up on that level. Not a lot of teams have that kind of personnel. You look at Boston and the Celtics, as historically great as they are, you know, with their 17 national championships and everything else, even their best players would probably get played off the court. I mean, no disrespect to Bill Russell, as great a competitor as he is, undersized for his position, guarding stiff, slow, plodding centers, you know, not exactly going up against a guy like Kevin Durant, probably not equipped to do so. For all that he could do around the rim, wasn't going to necessarily impact, it wouldn't impact, I think, a small ball lineup the way that the Warriors currently field. You know, San Antonio, again, you've got a limited core there. I mean, for all the talent they've had there, I think with Kawhi Leonard, David Robinson, is he a good fit? Is Tim Duncan? Tim Duncan seems like he could definitely match up, and I think he'd be out there. Robinson, maybe not as much, and then Kawhi. But then after that, you've got questions there. I don't know that you have the kind of, well, maybe you throw in a couple defenders that they've had key role players throughout the years, but it's tougher. I think the Lakers are current enough where they have enough depth in their teams, like, you know, Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, historically great center. I'm Jerry West, Kobe Bryant, guys like that have the defensive tenacity and the offensive firepower to match up with Golden State. Miami, you look at the fact that they have, you know, historically the first or second best player in NBA history. You've got Dwayne Wade, who's a top three player in his position. Chris Bosh, while he may not rank as far as the top 10 power forwards of all time or centers of all time, obviously, you know, that kind of versatility revolutionized small ball and may have been the precursor to what Golden State does with Draymond Green. Without a guy like Bosh kind of setting that template for a small ball center, you may not have the Warriors as they're currently constructed. So Miami clearly has a lot of depth as far as their all-time lineup is concerned. But I guess we should probably get into our lineups, because we could probably go on about this Warriors team for hours and hours, because they are that good. But this is Locked On Heat, so we're trying to answer Claudia's question of what team might possibly challenge the Warriors in a lineup. So I went with a six-man group that consists of Dwayne Wade, Bruce Bowen, LeBron James, Chris Bosh, and Alonzo Mourning at center, with Shane Battier coming off the bench.
So you've got Wade, Bruce Bowen, LeBron, Bosh, Zoe, Battier. That's your top six.
That is my top six there.
Your South Beach five would be, you take Zoe off the floor, play Bosh at the five. So then you've got Wade, Battier, Bowen, LeBron, Bosh.
Yeah. Five players that, much like Golden State, can knock down a three-pointer. A lot of versatility there. I mean, you've got Bowen could guard one through four, probably, and with the Hamptons against the Hamptons five. Battier could guard one through five. LeBron could guard one through five. Bosh could guard one through five. You've got three.
And I like the inclusion of Alonzo Mourning, because when we did our all defensive team, right, we were talking about Alonzo Mourning in that he was so quick defensively that he could have played in today's NBA and have been able to be out there on the floor and get and switch along the perimeter and do all those things. I mean, that's his quickness and his agility. He would have been fine in this matchup, I think.
I don't think it would have been as glaring a mismatch as you might think off the top of your head, because, again, he didn't have to do those things in the era in which he played. But in today's league, I think he had the kind of speed, quickness, strength, and moreover, really, I think the defensive intensity to match up with any player. I think he would disrupt a lot of what they do. You know, in those moments where JaVale is out there, I mean, he's not going to get a shot off. For all his length and athleticism and springy explosiveness, he's probably not going to get a shot off against Alonzo. Golden State creates a lot of points by swinging the ball around the perimeter and finding seams in the defense where they could drive to the rim. Steph Curry is probably not going to be able to get that shot off over Alonzo Mourning if he drives to the rim. You know, Kevin Durant is probably less likely to take that turnaround mid-range game against Alonzo Mourning if he's down there in the paint. And they're not going to create the same kind of switches that they do against other teams because Alonzo Mourning has the length to block a lot of shots. I went back, looked at some of those old videos of his shot blocking ability. So underrated. I mean, he covered half the court in order to block a shot. He had such incredible timing and length. All he would do is just get a fingertip on it, but it was enough to disrupt it. And then if you were going to go and try and posterize him, more often than not, he was going to get a full hand on that shot, knock it down, knock you down in the process. And I like that edge. I want that kind of intensity out there. I want him to be able to throw an elbow with Draymond Green. Draymond, you know, comes over and tries to establish himself in the paint, can't be moved, and that's his thing. He really does think he's got the strength and heft to kind of do it. And he often does, but I think Alonzo is one of those few guys who could probably match up very well for him. And as you pointed out, when he comes off, if he comes off, Battier, so underrated as a defender, spent a lot of his playing career as a two guard, but obviously by the time he was in Miami, played mostly the four, at least defensively, so that he could allow LeBron to do what he does best. And I really like that addition because I think Battier, as a three-point shooter, shot so well in Miami, and we're talking about his tenure in Miami and what he was able to do so well here. I think that shooting is great, that high IQ that you referred to, the versatility. I love his addition in that defense. I think it's intrinsic. I think as much of a X factor as Iguodala is for the Warriors, Battier matches that and might even surpass it in some ways.
So you would have as your starting five versus Warriors starting five. Because it really does come down to defense in a lot of ways. You'd have Wade guarding Curry, Bruce Bowen guarding Clay.
Or you could switch that. And that's what I like about that match. I think partly I like maybe what you do or what the Big Three era did as far as LeBron and Battier are concerned. I think Wade could be the point guard, so the de facto point guard on offense, because I like his back cuts, the movement off ball. Those kinds of things are enough where Curry won't necessarily stay on him, and that creates easy buckets for Miami. Mm-hmm. And that's the whole thing, is that you've got such a great playmaker in Dwayne Wade, a guy who can move the ball around, but you've got these other guys who swing the ball so exceptionally well, with the exception of Alonzo Mourning. So I think Wade's back-cutting ability and his low-post ability, I think that's the kind of thing where that totally takes Curry out defensively. Like Wade in the low post, and you stretch everybody out, and especially with those lineups with Battier out there, you've got four out, and just let Wade go to work on Curry. There's no way he's going to stop Dwayne Wade in the low post.
And I love the matchup, too, with Bowen against Clay, because he takes away all the things that Clay Thompson's going to want to do, right? Absolutely. Nobody, you know, Bruce Bowen was scary to shoot corner threes against.
Yeah.
And so that you're going to take some of that away from Klay Thompson. He was just terrific guarding the perimeter. And then, of course, Klay Thompson likes to post up a lot. But Bruce Bowen has the size and the strength to defend that really well. So I love that matchup there. LeBron against Durant obviously makes sense. Chris Bosh against Draymond Green. There's not a whole lot of guys that can slow down Draymond Green. Chris Bosh is one of those guys.
Yeah, and take him out of his element as far as when Bosh is on offense, too. I mean, that just makes it perfect. It's a perfect matchup for Chris Bosh, I think. And then when
the Warriors bring Iggy in for JaVale McGee, you know, you could take Zoe out, play Bosh at the five, and bring Battier in. And Battier can just match up against Iguodala, you know, to start possessions. And obviously the Warriors will go through their switching and everything that they like to do. And so this Heat team, you know, Battier, Bowen, LeBron, Bosh, all these guys could switch, and Dwayne Wade, all these guys could switch really well. And then, so when the Warriors go with that Hamptons five lineup, you know, you're able to bring in Battier, and it's a pretty clean transition. So I like the team. I really do. I think they'd have a great chance. You've got enough as far as the high basketball IQ between all of these guys.
Yeah.
It's there. You've got the isolation ability with Wade and LeBron and even Bosh to a certain extent. You've got some vertical spacing with Alonzo Mourning.
What I also like as far as, you know, when you have Battier and Bowen on there and their quick hands, you're going to create a lot of turnovers.
Yep.
Look, Golden State, it's a little turnover prone because they're somewhat careless with the ball. They take chances because they can afford to because of their talent level. But with a team like Miami, particularly when you're looking at the three stars of the Big Three era, they could capitalize on turnovers better than almost any team in NBA history, probably short of the Warriors or the Showtime Lakers. So you've got those three, you know, guys running down court. those Golden State Warriors are going to lead to easy offense for Miami. So I really like that aspect of it as well.
And then you've got enough second chance points with Alonzo Mourning cleaning up the boards too, because he's going to out-rebound the Warriors by himself.
Yeah, exactly. So are there any holes in that lineup that you care to point out? Like, I don't like Bowen. He's not much of a passer, and he's limited offensively. So he's kind of like the Andre Roberson as far as Oklahoma City Thunder.
But he doesn't need the ball either, right? So, like, where you have a guy...
He's shooting corner threes, and that's about it.
Yeah, and I like that. I think you need a guy in the lineup that... Because Alonzo Mourning's going to need the ball. Chris Bosh is going to need the ball. Obviously, LeBron Wade. So you need that one guy who's not necessarily going to need it, and I think he just provides so much defensively. I like Bruce Bowen in that lineup. I think you could have went a few different ways. Like, you could have maybe started Battier over Bowen.
Yes.
And gotten a lot of similar
I
things.
Considered
and
it.
Maybe and then maybe go with a more dynamic six man.
Yeah.
But
One other X factor, and I know that Claudia's question didn't allow for it. Pat Riley is my head coach.
I'll just tell you, my team is coached by Eric Spoelstra. Why are you going with Pat Riley over Eric Spoelstra?
I know it's not exactly fitting as far as today's more analytical based analysis of the league, and I can't help but appreciate what Riley does as a head coach, and his ability to make in-game adjustments I think it's superior to Eric Spoelstra's. I think Riley recognizes ebbs and flows of games a little bit better than Spoelstra does, and has a quicker trigger for when to capitalize on those. I think he knows also, I think he's a better motivator, to be 100% honest with you. I think the reputation, I think that intensity that Riley brought is that intangible that's necessary in order to knock out Golden State. So if you want a team that's going to play their hardest for you so that you can have a chance to beat this historically good Golden State team, give me the guy who's going to have, as Alonzo Mourning said, get you so fired up that you'd run through a brick wall for, not the guy who tells you to hang on to the boats, you know, or hang on to the rope or whatever it is. Keep your Spoisms. I love Spo. I think he's a great coach, but I want Riley out there to motivate this particular team with guys like Zoe in particular,
right,
and Bruce Bowen and even Battier, who are so reliant on defense and intensity. I think you'd want him out there. I think LeBron and Wade bring out another level to their game. And Chris Bosh, too, playing for a guy like Riley. That's my head coach.
I went with Eric Spoelstra simply because I know he can coach the way he can. He has coached a team in the Big Three era. He built and stylistically ready to beat the Warriors, right? Like, he coached up a team that was so good defensively, the greatest, one of the best defensive teams at the height of its powers that we've ever seen. The flying death machine. I mean, he was able to coach. Players get so smart when they play under Eric Spoelstra. It is, that defense was so good and so efficient. It was on a string, right? They always said it was on a string, and he has proven that ability to coach a defense that can act that way, and has really leaned into the positionless approach of coaching. That I think you just need that mentality, that proven ability to coach a team like that, and it's simply put, that's why I made him my coach. I was like, he is a modern coach, and you need a modern team to beat these modern Warriors. So I gave it to Spoelstra. That said, both decisions are correct. Like, going back to our conversation earlier, there are not a lot of franchises that have players that can match up with these Warriors. Right. The Heat have two coaches who can coach toe-to-toe with these Warriors. I mean, Pat Riley and Eric Spoelstra, you could argue, are both better coaches than Steve Kerr, and Steve Kerr is a great coach. So, but let's go through my team really, really quick, and then we'll talk about it. I've got LeBron James at point guard, Dwayne Wade at shooting guard. I had Eddie Jones at small forward, but I'm going with Josh Richardson. I'm going with Josh Richardson at small forward. Power forward is Chris Bosh, and my center is Shaquille O'Neal.
Ooh, that's the surprise move there. And your sixth man?
Lamar Odom. Oh. And so I debated between Lamar Odom, Bruce Bowen, and Shane Battier, and I ended up going with Lamar Odom. For some of the reasons that I talked about in the last segment about, you know, maybe if you move Battier into your starting lineup, you can go with a more dynamic sixth man who could do a few more things. And that's why I went with Odom as my sixth man, just because of his versatility offensively and defensively. I think specifically on offense, he just provides an extra layer of scoring that I think would be really important for this team. So for me, I'm checking off the high basketball IQ, right? I've got LeBron, I've got D-Wade, I've got Shaq, I've got Bosh. I'm checking off the isolation ability to beat switches. I've got LeBron, I've got Wade, and I've got Shaq. And so Shaq is really the linchpin of this thing. And then, of course, I've got the ability to create second chance points. I've got Shaq and Bosh rebounding. I've got LeBron and Wade creating transition opportunities, not to mention Josh Richardson doing the same thing. And so I think that there's enough here that allows me to play a couple of different ways. I start big with Shaq in the low post. And if that doesn't work, if for whatever reason the Warriors are able to play Shaq off the floor, I take him off, I put him on the bench, I bring in Lamar Odom, and now I've got Odom and Bosh as my front court, which I really like, on both sides of the court. So what are your initial thoughts on this?
It's an interesting, really interesting lineup. I considered it, and one of the questions I'd asked when we were thinking about putting together this team is who is Golden State starting center? Because it could have been JaVale McGee, as we agreed, or it could have been Zaza Pachulia. And if it had been Pachulia, I might have been more willing to go with Shaq. Because I think with McGee, I think he's a little bit quicker, a little bit better of a rim runner, obviously. Pachulia doesn't offer much on offense.
Yeah, but you're not going to... Like, you're not going to look at JaVale McGee and be afraid to play Shaq against him.
No, you're right. But I also think that you need somebody a little bit quicker to match up against McGee. And I think Zoe fits that mold. I think Chris Bosh fits that mold. I don't see Shaq doing it. At least not, again, by the terms of what we're thinking about, Shaq in his tenure in Miami, I don't think he was quick enough and mobile enough.
So I went with Shaq because I don't think JaVale McGee can defend Shaq. There's just zero chance.
Without a doubt. Now, having said that, I also don't know that you want to just dump the ball into Shaq. Are you going to be playing at a fast enough pace by dumping the ball into Shaq, who's going to need his touches, with LeBron James knowing that, you know, you've got to be able to get up and down the court as quickly as possible because you've got a really fast-paced Warriors team on the other end who's going to be putting up threes from 30 feet out. What are you going to do with Shaq out on the floor? That's my concern. I love your idea of taking Shaq out and putting Lamar Odom. While he's not the defensive player that Battier is, Odom definitely does provide a lot more on offense, I think. Not only does he have some outside touch, not as good as Battier, and he's probably not as high IQ as Battier either.
No.
But I think his passing kind of changes things up. Not too dissimilar from what Draymond provides on offense for Golden State. He's a guy that you can put at the top of the elbow. He's going to swing the pass around. He's going to look for those seams of the defense. And I like Odom as the point forward. I don't know, as good a defender, as rangy a defender as Durant is, I like Odom being able to match up with Durant defensively and offensively, where I think he can take Durant off the dribble and get to the bucket a lot quicker than either Alonzo or Shaquille O'Neal can. So that's a really interesting matchup.
Between having Shaq and Odom, I'm really trying to take advantage of what – I'm trying to throw a wrench into the Warriors' switch-everything mentality because they can't against those guys. They just can't. I mean, obviously, they can't do that against LeBron either. But now you've got three guys, and you can even include Chris Bosh in that, where you can't – I mean, Chris Bosh isn't as dynamic, isn't that much of a matchup doesn't have that much more of a matchup advantage than guys like Shaq and Odom and LeBron.
Yeah.
But between those three guys, you just – I don't know that you can switch against them. I mean, you've got to have at least Draymond or Kevin Durant on LeBron. But then you have nobody that can guard Shaq. And you really only have Durant who can guard Odom, and that's about it. So
I think Iguodala can match up with that pretty well.
Iggy could do a pretty decent job, yeah. But, you know, that's a lot of guys there now that the Warriors have to account for. And I don't know where you hide Curry. And I don't know where you hide even a guy like Klay Thompson against a lot of these players.
Yeah,
so,
you've got – Wade is the smallest guy in your starting lineup, right, by far?
Right. Yeah, I mean, Wade and Josh Richardson.
Now, I've got a concern with Richardson, too, in that I don't think he's got the – I love his defense in today's league. I just – don't know if he's physical enough to match up with this Warriors,
or if he has the basketball IQ. And the only
I don't doubt the IQ part,
or experience, I should say.
Maybe that's more.
It's probably better.
Yeah, he could get taken out of it.
The only reason I included Josh Richardson is because against these Warriors, he plays really well and he guards them really well. And I kind of here would be my initial defensive matchup, and this is why I included Josh Richardson. I would have Josh Richardson guarding Steph Curry, and he does as good a job as anybody in the league, and that's not hyperbole. in guarding Steph. So I wanted Josh Richardson because he has shown me, just like Eric Spoelstra has shown me the ability to coach the way that I need my team coached. Josh Richardson has shown me that he can guard Curry. So I want that. So I've got Josh Richardson guarding Curry. I've got Wade against Clay. I think Wade can rough up Clay a little bit. Yeah. LeBron against Durant, Bosh against Draymond, and then Shaq guards JaVale McGee, which I'm not making any of my coaching decisions based on whether or not it's Zaza or McGee as their starting center. So and then when Iggy comes in, I take Shaq off the floor and I bring Odom in. And so Odom can match up with Iggy, but then this becomes a very switchable lineup. The other option too, I think my approach would be to play Shaq like 20 minutes a game. And in those 20 minutes, he would punish the Warriors. Instead of going Josh Richardson, Wade, LeBron, Odom, Bosh, right, to match that Hamptons 5, I can take Josh Richardson out and go with Wade, LeBron, Odom, Bosh, Shaq. And go really, really, really big and just try to bludgeon the Warriors and slow the pace down, take advantage of the boards, get a bunch of guys in isolation position, because those are a bunch of guys that can score on their own, one-on-one, and so and create plays for each other. So there's a few different ways I can go here. So I like the ability of going big and small and everything in between.
Yeah, I'm curious. I know we're talking about a six-man lineup, you know, a six-on-six type situation. But eventually, you know, in reality, I guess the Warriors would bring somebody in there to just hack a Shaq as much as possible. I guess we're assuming that that wouldn't be part of this incredible scenario here. I think that's another part of it, too, is either Golden State just allows Shaq to do whatever he wants by scoring at will and already being set up for three-pointers on the other end, or they would constantly foul him, draw, you know, sending him to the line where he'd miss one of every two shots. So that's another concern as well.
If they hack a Shaq with six people, I'm fine with it, because that means they probably just throw JaVale McGee at Shaq. Yeah. He gets six fouls. He fouls out. And now they have literally nobody who can guard Shaq. And you could keep fouling Shaq all you want, but you have nobody that's going to be able to guard him.
It's an interesting conundrum. And I often think about, you know, we talked about Pat Riley and team building and everything else. And you know, one of the things that you've always been critical of, and rightfully so, is that Riley didn't recognize the changing landscape of the league. And the thing now is, you know, not to criticize what the decisions of the past, although it's fair to be critical, but it's to see what's the future. And I don't know what it is. It might be bigger players that are all versatile. And I think that's kind of the mindset between, you know, a team like Milwaukee, you know, assembling the team that they did, they were looking at guys that were all 6'5 or taller that could do a number of things and switch on defense and things of that sort. So you wonder, you know, in this exercise that we're talking about, what Miami could possibly do in reality as far as what their future is there to contend against a Golden State. But in this makeshift scenario, you know, and having the right personnel there to be able to switch and match up with this Warriors team is a really interesting thought exercise.
It is, and you know, I think when we talk about how to beat the Warriors, we get so because the Warriors are built with math, and I think we get so accustomed to trying to, you know, solve for that formula that we almost forget the first part here, which is the high basketball IQ, because there are so many decisions that have to be made on a single possession that I think just getting smart basketball players on the court and letting them figure it out. And that's a lot of what LeBron James wanted to do this summer. We'll see if the Lakers got the right personnel to do it. But LeBron talked a lot about wanting to play with high basketball IQ guys, like just smart basketball players who can make decisions on a possession-to-possession basis and try to figure out those little creases in the armor of the Warriors. And that, to me, is what I think both of our teams really, first and foremost, have, is just a high basketball intelligence.
Yeah.
And I think that's what it's going to take, more so than, you know, getting 6'8 guys who can shoot 38% from three-point range. More than anything, I think it's going to take a high basketball intelligence to beat these Warriors.
Yeah, that's fair. That's why I picked Battier. And then conversely, you know, against all math, I like Bowen's chippiness and frankly, his dirtiness. Like, I like his ability to slide a foot under Klay Thompson's, you know, shooting and maybe be able to roll an ankle.
Draymond Green is so often the difference for the Warriors right. because he's got that chippiness, right?
Right. So it's kind of why I went that route. But I like your players, too. I question whether or not Richardson can hold up to that kind of pressure. But fair. But you like his ability to match up against Curry, and I'm curious. I have seen him limit Curry, which is impressive on its own. So it's a good one. I'm curious if our listeners have a perspective, whether or not maybe somebody else, maybe somebody like Keith Askins or Udonis Haslam, maybe from our past, could have come on there. I don't think that they have.
We talked about Sean Marion, I think, and I think maybe a lot of listeners are wondering where the hell Sean Marion is on our list.
Yeah.
He wasn't the same player in Miami that he was in Phoenix. Now, if Miami had had that Phoenix version of Sean Marion, I think there's no way he doesn't start for both of our teams. Like, that was a very, very good player, and was exactly this kind of guy you want playing against the Warriors. But he just wasn't that level when he was playing in Miami.
Yeah, that's true.
I'm trying to think of any other honorable mentions, any other guys that... Justice Winslow could play in this game.
I was worried about the offense.
That's the problem.
I just don't see that he has enough passing playmaker. I mean, his passing is fine. And he has the potential as a playmaker, too. Maybe I'm not giving him enough credit. We just haven't seen him unlock that potential just yet. But
I thought about Tim Hardaway just as far as that isolation ability goes. And look, you put him on Curry, he'd do a fine job on Steph. He would do fine. He'd do as good as anybody else does.
He would knock him into the third row, probably.
Yeah, yeah. So I thought about Tim Hardaway from that isolation ability, but I think we got enough of that with Wade and LeBron, and you kind of just want to surround those guys with defense.
Yeah, right? I even considered briefly Dion Waiters when I was trying to think who might play alongside Dwayne Wade, but I decided to go with somebody else there. And if you had
eight spots, maybe you give Waiters that eighth spot just for his high variance.
Yeah, that's true. It's a good
interesting
idea. Yeah.
All right, well, that's all we have for today. Thank you for listening. Send us your lineups on Twitter, and let's do it all on Twitter. Your six-man unit to beat the Warriors, constructed entirely of people who've played for the Miami Heat, and then you got to include your coach. It's either Riley or Spoelstra, or maybe you're a Stan Van fan. make him your head coach. But yeah, send that to us at Locked On Heat. You can always reach us by email as well at lockedonheat@gmail.com. Support the show by visiting our Patreon page at patreon.com/lockedonheat. We'll catch you next time. Thanks for joining me, David.
I can't believe you omitted Ron Rothstein.